and welcome to this Lighthouse Church podcast, where you can catch up on our talks from Sunday gatherings. We're a church at East Lothian, seeking to follow Jesus, build community, and make a difference.
A secret, okay, this is why Nathan said that maybe the kids were having more fun this morning. Tom spent an hour yesterday filling up water balloons, okay? So I'm really sorry we're not doing that in here this morning, because that does sound quite fun. Yeah, no, boo, hiss. But we're reading the Bible, which is also amazing, isn't it? So that's what we're going to do this morning. We are back in our series in James, okay? So we took a little break for Easter, and now we're back in to the book of James, thinking about wisdom for real life. And if you'll remember, I said that these are some of the things that you can say about James. You know, because he packs a punch. He says it how it is. We could say, ouch, dang, or burn. So you can have a go at those later. So we're talking today about wisdom. What is wisdom? From James chapter 3. So if you've got a Bible, you can get it ready. If you don't worry about it. It's going to be on the screen as well. But as a kind of way in to what we're thinking about this morning, I want to talk to you about moaning. Who is brave enough to admit to enjoying a bit of a moan? Quite a few of us. It's a bit of a British pastime, isn't it? We all love a moan. Maybe a better question would be, who at some point this week said, I'm just too hot? Anyone say that? Nobody said, I'm impressed. Christine said that. Donna said it. Thank you for your honesty, ladies. I appreciate that. So we can all moan about a lot of things. So could you just turn to the person next to you and say, what is the one thing you're most likely to moan about? All right? If you're just going to have a bit of a grumble at the end of the day, what would it be about? Have a chat with the person next to you. Okay, so would anyone feel brave enough to own up to what they moan about? Anyone want to give me a wave? Or happy to dob in their partner, perhaps? Ben?
Lisa wants to envision tidying and then moves furniture around every fortnight and then goes, oh, well, I've moved things for you when okay. It's nice, but I never asked her to do it.
Okay, so you're publicly outing your wife there. Ben, okay, perfect, yeah, great. So when someone moves things around and you don't know and you're like, what's happened? Yeah, okay. Any other moans? Any other grumbles? Yes, Emily?
This table is completely unanimous. Donald Trump's face when he's pretending to be honest, full of integrity. And you just want to do that. Yeah. Rub his face up and down a Harold wall.
Yeah. Amen, hallelujah, that's what I say to that. Donald Trump comes fairly high up my daily moan list. Yes. Any other grumbles, moans? Yes, Nathan.
Potholes.
Potholes, yeah. Potholes, frequents, yeah. They're going to happen. Any other moans from around here?
When people just don't do the job they're meant to be doing, it's quite annoying.
People, yeah. I made a sort of short list that all began with P because I'm a very good preacher. So I said politics, potholes, prices at the supermarket, and people, just kind of as a catch-all. So, yeah, so it's very easy to slip into a kind of rhythm of grumbling, isn't it? And it's also, in our culture, I think, kind of one of the ways that we make friends with people as well. You know, I'll tell you my grumble, you tell me your grumble, and by the end we'll be BFFs and we'll be going on holiday together next week. Yeah, it's kind of how we get to know each other. And the reality is that there is quite a lot to be frustrated about, isn't there, in the world right now? Like out there, you know, Donald Trump, global politics, the economy, just crazy. But closer to home, there can be things to kind of moan and grumble about too. Relationships, work, church, we can grumble about that too. Very often, criticisms or grumbles can be justified, just as they were in James's day. But this is the challenge. How do we, as people who follow Jesus, how do we tell the truth about what's wrong with the world without becoming people who are always moaning? Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to be someone who always has something cutting to say, but never anything constructive. Are you with me? So, as God's people, we're not meant to just see what's broken. Here is the pothole in front of me. We're meant to contribute something beautiful to the coming of Jesus' kingdom and what he's actually doing in the world. So, here are some quotes on wisdom just before we read the passage. Tom Wright says this. He's one of my favorite theologians. He says, "Those who follow Jesus ought not only to be celebrating the goodness in the world, but contributing to it." Eleanor Roosevelt, some of you might have thought of that quote as we were talking about moaning and wisdom. "Better to light a candle than curse the darkness." It's quite a famous one, isn't it? And then this is just me. This is just for free this morning, okay? "Better to reflect heaven's wisdom than to echo the world's complaints." Amen. Much better to do that. So let's hear the challenge and the invitation that James brings to us this morning. So I'm reading from James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him or her show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom," speech quotes, "does not come down from heaven, but is earthly and spiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness." So shall we pray as we come around God's word together? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this book written by your friend and brother James. We thank you for the wisdom that it contains. And we ask as we read this passage and as we sit with it this morning that you yourself would teach us through the words of this book, that we would be better able to follow you out into the rest of the week. So convict us, challenge us, comfort us, speak to us, we pray. We welcome the work of your Holy Spirit this morning. And God's people said, Amen. So before we go any further, I thought it might be helpful to define what does James mean by wisdom? What is wisdom? So like again, turn to the person next to you. Can you come up with a working definition? What is wisdom? Even just to kind of first go, even if all you talk about is, well, that's not wisdom, do you know? But what is wisdom? Have a little think. Chat to the person next to you. It's a big question. I wonder, does anyone want to shout out any answers or kind of where you got to? Any thoughts? Any thoughts from this little group here? Tina, I heard you say something helpful. It's not just information. Yeah. Using your heart as well as your mind. Yeah. Yeah, discernment. Yeah, I'm sure I heard discernment kind of flutter around the room in a few different places. So, yeah, anything else to add here? No, you good? Using your words wisely. Yeah. Amy, you're getting outed here. That's wise, using your words wisely. Yeah. How about you guys? What did you? You have 2 ears and 1 mouth. So you need to listen before you talk. I like that from Lisa. Yeah. What else did we, any thoughts from over this kind of direction? Anything you want to shout out? What? It's more than understanding. Godly understanding. Yeah. So it's more than just kind of information in your head. It's an actual kind of living out of God's ways. God's understanding. Yeah. The ability to make good choices. Yeah. What do you say, Francisca? The quality of being wise. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts? It sounds like your mum should be doing my job, not gonna lie. Yeah, so I don't know if you all heard that. It's when the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with the ability to live your life how God wants you to. Yeah. Yeah. Great. Well, that the preach is over. I think we're done. So that's fantastic. So this is kind of where I got to. Wisdom isn't about knowing things up in your head. It's not just information. It's not about how clever you are or how many Bible verses you can recite by memory. Wisdom is knowing how to live in a way that brings life, like good choices, like Kim was talking about. A good life, a life that reflects who God is and his purposes in the world. So it's rooted in humility, shaped by love, and orientated towards peace. So this is the short one that I came up with. Wisdom is living in God's world in God's ways. Living in God's world in God's ways. And James, in this passage here that we've just read, draws a really clear line between two different types of wisdom. So we good? Samuel? You're going off to the bathroom. Fantastic. So, two types of wisdom. There is earthly wisdom, and then there is heavenly wisdom. That's the kind of parallel that's drawn for us in this passage from James 3. And we're going to just briefly unpack each type of wisdom. So, earthly wisdom, verses 14 and 15. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual. And James goes so far, this is one of those sort of ouch, burn, dang moments, to say it's actually demonic, as in it comes from a place that actually opposes the way of Jesus. So earthly wisdom might look smart on the surface, it might even get results, but what this passage tells us is that in the motivation, it's fueled by ego, comparison, jealousy. I'm trying to unpack bitter envy and selfish ambition and a desire to be seen. It's reckless, self-promoting, and ultimately destructive. It's pretty strong, right? And it shows up, I think, in these ways. And I made this list and then had to sit down and take a little look at myself. So I don't say these things in any way to be judgmental. I think I have been guilty of all of them. It can show up in cutting words. We've all been there, haven't we? In power struggles, in gossip, manipulation, and in the desire to always want to be right, the need to always win. And James goes on to say, verse 16, earthly wisdom produces disorder and every kind of evil practice. That's what happens when we build our own kingdoms instead of engaging in the kingdom of Jesus. Who saw, talking of Donald Trump, this image this week? Okay. Yeah, there was a sort of collective groan in the room. Can you see that? It is the AI-generated fake image of Donald Trump dressed as the Pope, which he decided to put out on social media as millions of Catholics all around the world were grieving for the death of Pope Francis. And he looks incredibly real there, doesn't he? You've even got the kind of holy candlelit glow going on there, the regal robes. But it's completely fake, as well as being completely wrong. It's completely fake. This is earthly wisdom. It looks wise. It knows how to manipulate truth for its own ends. But it lacks humility, and ultimately, it deceives. And just to give this a different kind of analogy, last week in Lidl, I got a deal on avocados, okay? We were having chicken fajitas for tea. I love making a bit of guacamole, okay? Give me a wave who else likes guacamole, a few of you. So my method, we can share methods together at the end. You can come and tell me what else you would add to your guacamole. But for me personally, some guacamole, you know, avocados, bit of sea salt, bit of olive oil, bit of lime juice, okay? That is like the magic ingredient. So I'd done all of, I was intending to do all of that. So I took the avocado and it was beautiful and it was green and it was shiny on the outside, and very carefully slice it so you don't cut your hand off in the process. You know what I'm talking about with avocados. And on the inside, instead of the beautiful lime green flesh that I was expecting, brown sludge. What a disappointment. We've all been there with avocados, haven't we? And so, just like that image, it looks good on the outside, but on the inside, when you dig a little deeper, it's not real, or it's fake, or it's discolored, or it's brown sludge. And what counts as wisdom in our world today is very much like brown guacamole. It's not rooted in reality, in truth or goodness or peace. It's much more like that Trump image. It's performance or it's projection. And now, in a sense, that could sound incredibly judgy, couldn't it? Everyone out there is getting it wrong. Or, well, of course, that's about Trump and we can all have a good moan about Trump. But I'd like us just to pause for a second and consider the possibility that none of us are immune to being an avocado. Yeah? Because I have been an avocado at points in my life. Cut me open, it's not always healthy. And maybe you know that's true for you too. James is saying in this passage that it's possible for people who follow Jesus, people who identify as Christians, to look healthy on the outside but still be sick on the inside. He's basically saying that when a person with bitter envy claims to be a healthy or a practicing Christian, that person is telling you a complete fib. They're lying. And further down the line, that kind of wisdom destroys communities like this. We're not exempt from that. And the challenge in this passage might just apply to me. And I guess it's for you to sit with, does it apply to you too? If we're constantly surrounded in the world, as we are, by opportunities to be envious or to be selfishly ambitious, then it's very possible that at points we're going to be envious or selfishly ambitious, isn't it? It takes intention to live in a different direction with Jesus. And so James writes to say, real wisdom doesn't shout the loudest, it doesn't look flashy, it's not about ego, it's about gentleness, peace, humility. And that is profoundly countercultural, right? That's so different to what we're surrounded by. So let's think about the other kind of wisdom that he writes about. So we've just talked about earthly wisdom, and now we're going to talk about heavenly wisdom, the second part of this passage. verses 17 and 18, chapter 3, say, "But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." And I actually love the paraphrase from the Message, so I thought that we could maybe read it together. If you're able to read that, why don't we read this aloud? So this is Peterson's paraphrase of that passage. "Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor." So this kind of wisdom is pretty hard to fake, yeah? You can't really pretend what we've just talked about, can you? Not for very long, at least. It's not loud, it's not attention-seeking, but it brings healing, trust, wholeness. Heavenly wisdom is gentle, peaceable, and life-giving. So next question to turn to the person next to you and chat about is, what does this kind of wisdom actually look like? So we talked about earthly wisdom showing up as cutting words, power struggles, gossip, manipulation. What would heavenly wisdom actually look or sound or feel like? You know, when someone talks to you with heavenly wisdom, what would it make you feel? What would it make you think? What does this kind of wisdom look like? Have a chat with the person next to you, and then we're going to feed back again to the front as we learn together. Okay, let's start over here. Any thoughts? I came to you last the last time, and I'm thinking, let's just come here first and get it over with, really, shouldn't we? So, yeah. Yeah. So when you're following in the footsteps of Jesus, it's showing love how he would have showed love. Yeah. Yeah. So asking God for wisdom to know what to do, to make the right choices. Yeah. Great. Fan. Anything else anyone wants to? No? All good? Okay. Any thoughts from around here? What does wisdom look like?
Like brings peace into situation, like de-escalates it, just like cools it down, actually. Just, yeah.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, Brooke. Any thoughts around here? You want to? No? Okay. That's okay. Any thoughts from around here? What does wisdom sound like, look like?
There's a motivation of protecting other people when you share. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Protecting other people. Yeah. That's good. No, she stopped. Okay. Any more thoughts around here? Any thoughts on what does wisdom sound like?
Showing love and care to those who are in need.
Yeah, and we see that in scripture so many times, don't we, Francisca? Like Jesus' commandment to love each other and to love the vulnerable. What's wisdom sound like? Any thoughts? You guys had any thoughts? Liz, did you have a thought? No? Peace that passes understanding. So sometimes wisdom is doesn't have all the answers, but it helps you be present in a moment of conflict or challenge. Yeah, absolutely. Any more thoughts over here? I'm sure you guys had some good thoughts. Come on. Yeah, okay, Jules has been nominated.
Okay, so it points to Jesus rather than to the person who's doing the talking.
Yeah, that's so true. It points to Jesus rather than the person who's doing the talking. Amen. And anything else you want to add?
There was something else and I've forgotten it. Remind me. The fruit of the Spirit. Yes, it shows the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah, God's wisdom shows us the work of the Spirit coming out of our lives. Yeah, so some great answers, contributions there. Thank you so much, everyone who contributed. So, I tried to think ahead what you might say. So, if we go to the next slide, please. The next one. That's great. If we could just get rid of the song lyrics, that would be great as well, Katie, just when that's possible. So it said listening before speaking, admitting when you're wrong and saying sorry. That's godly wisdom, isn't it? Apologizing and owning our part in things. Speaking truth with kindness, being merciful even when it's not deserved. Disengaging from gossip and slander, like Brooke was saying, actually de-escalates conflict. And choosing gentleness. These are all things that, gosh, that's the kind of wisdom I want to have. I don't know about you. Does anyone else want that kind of wisdom for the week ahead? It would help me out a lot. And just for a minute there, I just wanted to dive into how heavenly wisdom chooses gentleness. It's just a very tiny element of this passage. But when I dug a bit deeper, I was like, goodness, there's so much even just in this one word. So in James 3, verses 17, it says, wisdom is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive. This word submissive is actually quite misleading. it's the same word used for gentleness in the fruits of the Spirit. In Philippians 4, verse 5, it's the same word used when it says, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. And in Matthew 5, verse 5, when Jesus says, blessed are the meek, the gentle, for they will inherit the earth. And I don't know about you, but when I think about the word gentleness, I just kind of thought it referred to general niceness, you know? If you're gentle, you're kind of, you know, just nice person, maybe a bit of a pushover, right? That's kind of the sense. But it's really actually biblically, that's not at all what's implied. And so when James says that heavenly wisdom is gentle, there's something actually quite incredible going on here that I just want to unpack for a couple of minutes. So it's a word that's used through the New Testament to describe the holy quality of someone who follows Jesus. And the original Greek is different to an English word. It actually implies an exercising of huge strength or power, but wielded wisely, like with restraint, with respect, with kindness. So a good kind of picture of this would be in the next slide. You think about a really powerful stallion horse, you know, just like could run for miles. But you put a bridle on that horse and that power is restrained and wielded responsibly for a purpose. That's exactly the kind of word that's used in the New Testament for this word gentle. It's power restrained and wielded wisely. Or a river held by banks in the flood, or this image actually made me laugh, a toddler when you hold them by the hand, because we all know how powerful toddlers are, but we have to take that power and we have to help them wield it wisely and responsibly. So a wisdom that is gentle, just have a think about that for a minute. What would a wisdom that is gentle, that has huge power, but is constrained in a way that has purpose, what would that look like? It might mean that we use our voices and our power, our words, in a way that builds up instead of tears down when it has all the potential to tear down. And this is where it gets like really practical, and possibly for some of the parents who are still in the room, maybe a little convicting. I was remembering a time when my kids were really little. They were maybe 4 and 6. And I was talking with them about the power of the Spirit, how the Holy Spirit comes to live in us to help us to be kind and gentle. And we moved into a time of prayer together because I was teaching them how to pray. And my sweet children placed their sweet hands on my shoulders and prayed, Lord Jesus, would you come and fill Mummy with your Holy Spirit so that she could be really kind today? At which point I'm thinking, I'm really smug about my awesome parenting, you know. I'm thinking this is going to preach so well one day. At which point Grace continues, and Lord Jesus, please help Mummy not get cross or shout like yesterday, amen. And the conviction in that moment was huge. But words have huge power to shape us, don't they? To change the course of the direction of our lives even. Some of the powerful words that have been spoken over me have actually shaped my life in good ways and in bad ways. And as parents especially, we know that to be true. The way that we speak to our children, whether they're little or they're grown, has huge power. And children need disciplining, they need shaping. They're like horses or rivers. They are capable and strong. But just like horses need bridles and rivers need banks, children need parents who have asked God for gentle wisdom, who speak calmly and firmly in love. So gentleness, a wisdom that is gentle, I want that for this week ahead. So let's land this. How do we grow in wisdom? I've got 3 suggestions. And if you remember, we've been doing a kind of takeaway homework challenge each week with James. So I'm going to ask you at the end to pick one of these and to take it away this week. So how do we grow in wisdom? Number one, I think we just ask God for wisdom. Yeah, I mean, his word tells us to do that. James 1 verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God and it will be given. I mean, that's a promise I'm going to take hold of, do you know? I'm going to ask him, he's going to deliver. He's already told me how that equation is going to work out. So let's have a go at that. And we don't need to be clever. We just have to be open. Just have to ask. He's a good dad who wants to give good things to us. So we ask Jesus to help us. Jesus, help me this week to know when to speak and when just to shut up. Because there are points when I just need to. Help me confront injustice without becoming bitter or hard-hearted. You think about how Jesus did this. Jesus, he perfectly united love and truth, and he didn't burn out on holding those two things together. So I'm asking Jesus, help me grow in wisdom. Help me follow you this week. Ask God. Number 2, slow down. James 1 verse 19 says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And I think there is something in this that actually speaks to the culture that we live in, which says, be quick to do stuff, have opinions, put it on social media. Own what you think. You do you. You know, it's very immediate, isn't it? But actually, there's something about godly wisdom that says just slow right down. Don't be in a rush. Take a pause. You know, take a step back and pray and ask God for his help in those moments when you don't know what to do. And slowing down can really help us do that, to walk in the way of Jesus. Wisdom doesn't react, it reflects, it listens before responding, it steps back before it steps in. Yeah? To slow down. And then my third suggestion, how we might grow in this kind of wisdom this week, is just to get living. By which I mean we work this out by actually just having a go, don't we? Yeah? At some point, the rubber hits the road. Your feet are on the path, You're in the, I'm not going to stretch this analogy too much. We won't always get it right, but this is how we grow, by having a go. And there is a bit of a danger that if you're the kind of person who maybe is slightly more timid, that you hear slow down, you slow down so much that you actually sort of steer off into complete indecision or silence, yeah? So maybe this one is more for you if you get stuck in indecision or silence. So for some of us, we need to slow down, and that is definitely God's invitation to us this week. For some of us, maybe it's a bit of a have a go and get living it. Need to take a bit of a risk rather than playing it safe by staying silent. So maybe there's a wise conversation with somebody in your family or your friend or in work that you've been putting off having, and actually wisdom invites you to sit down and sort it out. And maybe some of us need to get on with doing that. Maybe there's been something that you've been moaning about that you know God is just very gently saying, why don't you go and do something about that? Why don't you get together with some friends and think about how you could make a difference there? So Nathan's going to go and own potholes for East Lothian this week. Perfect. It's better to light a candle than to curse the dark. So I don't know how those three land. Maybe there's a bit of a ouch, dang, burn in one of those three. If we just go back to the three, just take a moment and think, which one of those am I taking away this week? As I think about God's wisdom for my life. Am I going to ask God for wisdom this week? Am I going to really intentionally slow down, be slow to speak, ready to listen? Or am I actually just going to go and live it? There's something that I need to do with God's wisdom this week that I know he's inviting me into. Just take a moment just to think and talk to God yourself, and then we'll respond together. Okay, shall we pray together? And then Chris is going to come up. We're just going to respond to God's word. So if you're able, can I ask you to stand with me? Let's talk to God about what we've heard.